Goedemorgen, het is een prachtige dag in oktober. De vogels fluiten om me heen. En wat een geweldig begin van de zondag met Hour of Power. Een uur vol inspiratie. En dat veel mensen zich laten inspireren, dat blijkt. Want wereldwijd kijken zo'n 40 miljoen mensen. We zijn blij dat u en jij onder die kijkers hoort. Bijzondere dienst vanuit de Christelijke Kathedraal, waar Robert Anthony Schuller zal spreken. We hebben een geweldige tenor, een echte ontdekking met een prachtige stem in de Christelijke Kathedraal. En in Hour of Power Nederland praten we met Dick Eenkhoorn, een van onze enthousiaste vrijwilligers, die zich juist ook voor u wil inzetten. En dat hoort u van hem. Een goede dienst vanuit de Christelijke Kathedraal.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power. Now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
It's a pleasure to be here and to feel the presence of God and His Holy Spirit in this place. And we want to give everybody an opportunity right now to shake the hands of those who are standing next to you and behind you and around you. And shake their hands and say, God loves you and so do I. We have with us this morning, I'm going to be interviewing the co-founder and director of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. Now, when we heard it was Crystal Peaks, we couldn't help but have her here. There was no question. It's good to have you here. Kim Meter is going to be sharing the marvelous story of her work with abused horses and children in need. This is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is alive, that your Holy Spirit is real, that your Holy Spirit is touching our minds, our hearts, our souls. And so in this hour, O Lord, transform our fears, transform our doubt, transform our concerns, and replace it with your faith and your hope and your assurance. And so we rest in you. And we are confident of your loving arms around us. We love you, Lord. Amen.
may be seated. Listen to the Holy Scripture. God, St. Paul is writing, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, made us alive together in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works. Wow. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I pray that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Thank you for being rooted and grounded in love. May you be able to comprehend what is the height, length, depth, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Don Nguyen, tell us about the morning's anthem.
Arrigo Boito, composer of Italian grand opera, wrote an enormous praise to God entitled Prologue in Heaven. The word Ave, often repeated, is simply translated as Hail to Almighty God. This chorus of praise is as powerful a statement of faith as could be composed. The text: Hail to the Lord, our God of saints and angels, from eternal harmonies and worlds surrounded by azure spaces, there shall be hymns sung to the Lord of perfect love. These hymns rise in vast regions from sweet-voiced legions throughout the universe, singing, We hail thee, O Lord God.
Oh.
What a powerful anthem. Thank you, Peter Pryor. Thank you, Donald Newman. Well, my guest today is Kim Meader. She is the co-founder of Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch. It's a safe and peaceful environment where broken children and horses find hope and healing. Kim knows what it's like to be broken and restored. At the age of 9, Kim's father tragically murdered her mother before killing himself. Through working with horses, Kim discovered God's healing power, and today Kim, along with her husband Troy, are reaching other troubled children, giving them the same opportunity for hope and healing. Each year, Crystal Peaks Youth Ranch pairs 4,000 traumatized children with 300 injured horses. In their effort to restore these horses to health, the children themselves get well. Kim has captured her own story and other true miraculous stories in this inspiring book, Bridge Called Hope. Please welcome with me Kim Meader. Kim, it is such a pleasure to have you with us here today.
Thank you.
But let's go back. How does this all start? You're 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And what happens?
I remember being picked up at my school and driven to my grandparents' house, which was full of grieving people. And someone was trying to hug me and say, "Your father has just murdered your mother and has taken his own life." And I remember just thinking, this just can't be true. And just fighting and fighting against them and breaking away and running away and just running and running and running and until finally falling down in the dirt and just screaming, "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me." And what I know now is that the Lord of all the universe knelt in the dirt beside a breaking child, and he has taken my hand in that moment, and he has never let go.
So you felt him there that day, and he was holding you and embracing you. And what happened from there?
I knew, even as a child, that going to my parents' funeral were images that I did not want in my heart. And I opted instead to go and ride horses with my cousins. And in my mind, I was just going to ride away and never come back. And God, this can't be true. And in my effort to run away, I ran straight into the arms of a loving God. And between the unconditional love of a little horse and the mercy and love of Jesus Christ, my life was saved.
How does the horse fit into this?
So many times in this life, when we suffer and when we go through times of great sorrow, it feels like an ending. And that is our perspective only. From God's perspective, oftentimes that is a beginning. And I couldn't have known then that this would become, this tragedy in finding love and healing through horses was going to become the figurehead of everything that God had planned for my life later.
And somehow you embraced that horse, didn't you?
I did. And in the time spent with that horse, I came to realize that boy, oh boy, is God's voice loud and clear. He says that all creation shouts his glory, and horses do too, just not in a voice we hear with our ears. And many, many years later, after knowing years and years of healing through this little horse, my husband and I bought the only piece of property that we could afford. It was so destroyed, nobody else wanted it. It was being mined for cinders. And it took us several years of bringing home all this organic material to put on the floor. There was no trees, no grass, no soil, nothing, just rocks. We did that for 2 years and then rescued the first two horses. One was missing about 300 pounds of her normal body weight and was so starved. And the second, I saw her former owner beat her so badly that he had to call a vet to come and sew up her face.
And you witnessed this.
I did.
So you saw bleeding and...
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, it was horrible, obviously.
All that. And so I purposed in my heart that all of us are in a situation at some point in our life of knowing someone has got to do something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes someone is us. And so I brought these first two horses home having no clue what God was going to do next. And because God loves the broken, my husband and I stood back in awe and watched as he fit together broken property filled with broken trees and broken horses to become the perfect place to heal the hearts of broken children. We were volunteering at a youth group, and we told just a handful of kids about these horses, and they had told their friends and their friends and their friends, and pretty soon kids were coming. We didn't even know. And we started seeing that in their efforts of making the horses better, that the kids themselves started getting better.
So you now have 300 horses, is that right?
We've been involved in the rescue of more than 300, but our property is very small, so we only keep 30 on the ranch at all times. But from the beginning of the ranch, which is 12 years ago now, we've had the privilege of loving more than 30,000 children. And by the grace and mercy of Christ, it has been free of charge to every single one. No one has ever paid a penny to come. So the kids who need to be there the most can afford it.
Isn't that fabulous? You know, you have seen lots of miracles. Share with us a miracle that you've seen with these kids working with the horses.
Oh, I have seen many amazing things. And first thing on the top of my head, last spring, we received a phone call from a family that said, one of our horses has just been intentionally poisoned and has died. Can you help us with our remaining horse? In order to keep her safe, we're keeping her in our garage.
So she was poisoned also.
We're not certain, perhaps. And so in the interim time to get her to our ranch, I always rename all the horses when they come. It's like their rite of passage to what we hope is a better life, and had thought of many names, but not the name, and I knew it. And it wasn't until the day we brought home this little Mustang mare that my husband came into my office that night with an email, and I could tell that it was very somber news. And this woman from Indiana said, my daughter read your book, Hope Rising, and it changed her whole life. And she, after reading this book, understood that she could make a difference. One child can change their world with love. Mm-hmm. Every one of us can change our world with love. And she took that to heart, and she went to her high school, and as a senior, started to befriend all the kids that didn't have any friends, and bringing them home and loving them with her horse. But that was not enough for her. She wanted to bless all the kids in your world too, and so she took all the money she had and went and bought gifts for the children at your ranch. And I'm writing to let you know that all those gifts are still on the counter because my daughter died very suddenly. Our daughter loved your ranch so much, and she would never ever wish for flowers to be sent to her funeral. She would want that to go to your ranch. And so we are letting you know why these gifts are coming from Indiana in our daughter's honor. And I just held that to my chest and just cried for this mother's loss. In the meantime, Hannah's mother and I have become very close friends, and she shared with me how some of these young women came to her home and sat across the couch with tears just streaming down their face, and they said, we could not believe that someone as beautiful and as popular as your daughter would choose to love us. We want you to know that your daughter's love in our life matters more than you know, and our lives will never be the same because of her love. That's what love does. And each one of us has the opportunity to do that in some way. Hannah's legacy was only imitating Jesus Christ's legacy, and that's to love with your whole life, so that the whole life of those around us can be changed by our love.
Well, Kim, you've got quite a few stories in this book. And they're stories of triumph and basically from the ranch of Rescued Dreams. And we want to thank you for writing this book. Kim, thank you. Thank you for your
faith in Jesus Christ.
From carrying through and for helping so many children and horses.
God loves you and so many
people. Thank you, sir.
God houdt van u. Dat is de centrale boodschap van Hour of Power. Voor vele duizenden kijkers is Hour of Power een wekelijks moment van rust, inspiratie en bemoediging. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power? Vindt u het belangrijk dat Hour of Power Gods liefde verkondigt? En Wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs. Dus uw steun is hard nodig. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u dit boek. God houdt van u en ik ook. Omarm de liefde die alle eenzaamheid verdrijft. Dit is het nieuwste boek van dominee Schuller senior. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl. Of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank.
Bij Out of Power hebben we heel veel mensen die vrijwillig meekomen helpen om allerlei dingen te doen. En Dick is iemand van het eerste uur en daar zijn we hier geweldig erkentelijk voor. Je bent ook zo'n enthousiasteling, want ik heb 1000 vragen aan je, maar laten we met dit beginnen. We hebben een gebedsteam en sinds het begin van het gebedsteam doe je daaraan mee. En we krijgen heel, heel veel verzoeken. Een aantal jaar geleden ben je getroffen door een zwaar hartinfarct. Je kwam in het ziekenhuis terecht op zondagmorgen. In de kamer deed je de televisie aan en daar was Hour of Power.
Toen was er een uitzending van Hour of Power. En daar vertelde dominee Schuller dat hij net weer terug was gekeerd in Amerika. En voor de eerste keer weer preekte daar. Na een ongeluk dat hij hier gehad had in Nederland. En dat hij hier in het ziekenhuis had gelegen. En toen vertelde hij dat hij eigenlijk wat in zichzelf gekeerd raakte. En toen in één keer vloog er een musje voor het raam van het ziekenhuis. Dat trok hem naar buiten toe en zag hij de heerlijke schepping van God. Daar moet ik weer heen. Ik moet weer aan de slag.
Ja, dat hielp je om verder te komen. Om niet stil te blijven staan bij het feit... ik heb nu een hart wat minder klopt.
Ja. Het vervolg was van... je ligt daar zelf dan op een zaal. Ja. En je werk kun je niet meer gaan doen. Wat moet je dan gaan doen? Ja. En komt er een broeder bij me en die zegt van... zou je niet wat met computers kunnen gaan doen? Toen ik met computers wat gaan doen. En ja, zo in...
Want je bent ook internetpastor, hè, zoals dat heet. Ja. Hartstikke. Even nog terug naar jezelf. Want je hebt een zwaar hartinfarct gehad. Je speelde graag orgel. En dat zijn van die dingen die je dan op moet geven, want dat kan niet meer.
Nee, vooral het begeleiden van diensten, dat ging niet goed meer. En dat heb ik toen helaas op moeten geven. Maar dan zie je ook weer hoe God met je bezig is. Want dan op een gegeven moment komt de pastor van het ziekenhuis waar je altijd speelde, komt bij je van, zeg Dick, zou je ons niet helpen willen in de pastorale werkzaamheden? Ja. Nou, ik zei, ja, dat wil ik wel doen, maar dan wil ik er ook wat van weten. Ja. Dus toen ben ik aan een studie gegaan. En...
Je hebt pastoraat geleerd.
Ja.
Dick, ik noem maar even een hypothetisch geval. Ik ben in het ziekenhuis geweest en ik heb van de dokter te horen gekregen dat ik ongeneeslijk ziek ben. Dus dat is een slag, dat moet je verwerken. Ja. Of familieleden die dat horen. En dan stuur je je gebedsverzoek naar Hour of Power. Ja. En dan ga jij, je weet niet wie het is, mensen blijven anoniem, ga je voor iemand met een heel team bidden. Dat is toch fantastisch?
Dat is heel mooi. En vooral nu je ook hoort van de reacties die erop binnenkomen bij Hour of Power. Ja. En die krijgen we dan toegestuurd. Dat is geweldig als je dat dan kunt bekendmaken aan mensen. Ja. Nou, het gebed
Wat geloof je dan? Dat misschien God geen genezing geeft, maar wel iemand kan helpen door zo'n moeilijke tijd?
Ja, of mensen op zijn weg sturen die hem helpen.
Ja. Mooi is dat, hè?
Ja, dat is heel mooi.
Ja. We hebben bij Hour of Power heel veel vrijwilligers. Mensen die zich inzetten op de administratie, op de verzendafdeling, op de... Nou, zoals jou, in het gebedsteam, die daar vele uren aan geven, daar niet voor betaald krijgen, dat ook niet willen. Ik hoop dat je echt in materiële zin daar heel veel voor terugkrijgt, maar word je er rijker van?
Nou, wat mij motiveert is dat je merkt dus dat gebeden verhoord worden, dat God werkelijk in het leven van mensen ingrijpt. En dat God je soms wil gebruiken. Het is zo mooi als je merkt dat God met je bezig is. Je probeert iets te doen voor mensen. Je probeert te bidden voor mensen. En dan een keer grijpt God je in je kraag en die zegt van, daar moet je heen.
Kun je een voorbeeld noemen?
Eén voorbeeld kan ik noemen van vrienden van ons. We hebben al 37 jaar lang vrienden. Die wonen nu in Meppel. En 2 jaar geleden, toen op een zondag, wij zouden op vakantie naar Ameland. En 's maandags en zondag uit de kerk komen we. En wordt er gebeld en die mensen bellen, onze dochter is dood. En wat doe je dan? Dan ga je op vakantie. Dan ga je naar die mensen toe.
Ga je een arm om ze heen slaan.
Je praat met ze. Je worstelt met ze. Je bidt met ze. En op een gegeven moment dan zeggen ze van... zou je ook met de kerkdienst wat willen zeggen? En je dochter was gehandicapt. En ik kom die kerk binnen en dan zeg ik van... wij horen, jullie dochter is dood. Ze is niet meer. Maar ze is nu bij God. En ze is niet gehandicapt meer. Weet u nog hoe ze vroeger zong? De Heer is mijn herder. En dat zingt ze nu in de hemel voor God. Nou, en als je dat dan terughoort van die mensen... wat ze daaraan gehad hebben, dan denk je van... gaat dan huivering door je lichaam van het God je ooit wil gebruiken.
Je hebt in onze nieuwsbrief, die elk kwartaal verschijnt... en ik vond het een prachtig verhaal geschreven over... daar wil ik mee afsluiten. Ontmoeting bij een benzinestation.
Ja, dat was ook zoiets. Dan ben je onderweg van, terug van een vergadering... en dan in één keer begint je scooter weer te sputteren. En ik denk bij het benzinestation maar even vragen of ze er wat aan kunnen doen. Dus ik loop daar naar binnen en zeg, kunt u ook wat aan doen? Oh, ze wouden wel even naar kijken. En ik neem ondertussen een kopje koffie. En ik kijk naar buiten en daar valt een vrouw tegen een benzinepomp aan. En ik loop er naartoe en ik probeer haar omhoog te helpen. En dan zie ik dat ze tranen in de ogen heeft. En laat ze wat vallen. En ik pak het voorop en het is een euro. En dan blijkt dus dat ze getankt heeft, maar dat ze geen geld heeft. En dan zeg ik tegen haar van... was u soms aan het bidden dat ik niet oplette dat ik kwam te vallen? Daar zorg ze even van. Maar toen zei ik, daar hoef je niet voor te schrikken. Want ik ben hier gekomen om te proberen om te helpen. En toen kwam haar verhaal. En ze zei van, ik ben getrouwd geweest. En mijn man is bij me weggegaan. En nu is het geld op. Zegt, en ik kon niet meer verder. Wat moest ik? Ik heb mijn ouders opgebeld. Daar had ze 5 jaar geen contact meer mee gehad. Maar die ouders hebben nergens aangedacht. En je zegt, kind, kom thuis. We zullen samen proberen om je leven weer op de rails te zetten. Maar ja, nu was ze bijna bij huis en ze had geen benzine meer. Dus ik heb de benzine voor haar betaald. Ik heb wat patat voor de kinderen gekocht. En we hebben even gesproken met elkaar. Ik heb haar voor haar gebeden en ze is naar huis gegaan. En alles is goed met haar.
Mooi. Mooi.
En dan kom je thuis en dan vertel je zoiets aan je vrouw. En ineens schiet je te binnen van... hé, die monteur die zei, er was niks aan de hand, niet goed.
Heeft er moeten zijn.
Ja, dat heeft God heeft je dat neergelegd.
Ja, ja. Ik vind het heerlijk zoals jij met blijmoedigheid over je geloof vertelt. Ik kan me voorstellen dat er mensen naar jou zitten te kijken... en die denken, wat fijn dat zo iemand bidt. En dat er mensen zijn die op het ogenblik gewoon gebed nodig hebben. Zou je dat willen doen? Gewoon?
Jawel, zeker.
Dan gaan we zo.
Heer God, hemelse Vader, aan het eind van dit gesprek... komen we bij u om u te danken, heren. Te danken dat u mensen wilt gebruiken... om anderen op het spoor te zetten van uw heilige naam. En om anderen een arm om het lichaam te geven... om ze te helpen, te steunen. Heren, wilt u zijn met allen die u zo nodig hebben? En wilt u ook het werk van Hour of Power zegenen? Dat vragen we u om Jezus wil. Amen.
Dick, heel hartelijk bedankt. Je had 2 gevouwen handen. Ja. Dat is het... het telefoonnummer wat nooit bezet is, hè? 2 keer 5, ja. Fijn dat je er was en heel veel sterkte en dank voor je inzet. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral om te luisteren naar een schitterende bijdrage van een jonge tenor, Jason Catron. Hij werd ontdekt, dat is wel leuk om te vertellen, door Ruth Graham, de dochter van Billy Graham. Die was zo onder de indruk van zijn stem. En ik hoop dat u en jij dat ook bent.
In pastures green, your breath of new life softly whispers. In oceans blue,
extol you, and all the earth bows down before you, Master and Maker, Lord and Creator of all. You are the Lord, my God. You are the extol you, and all the earth bows down before you, Master and Maker, Lord and Creator of all. Master and Maker, Lord and Creator of all.
Well, this morning I want to give you something to take home with you today. And I believe these words are something you can take with you for the rest of your life. You can apply them to every area of your living. You can apply them to your family. You can apply them to work. You can apply these words to the frustrations you have, the challenges you have. You can apply them to the hopes you have and for the future that you expect to happen in your life. These are the words. They're very simple, but profound. God is answering my prayers. Did you hear that? God is answering my prayers. So as you go through life and you face the struggles and the circumstances that life offers and gives to us, you can remember these words. God is answering my prayers. Would you repeat those words with me right now? God is answering my prayers. Now, those are powerful words. And those words will truly transform the way you think, the way you believe, the way you live. I'm giving this to you as a gift today to take home with you, to apply to your life today, tomorrow, and forever. And the power behind this statement is found in the first two words. God is. It begins with God. It all begins with God. Doesn't everything begin with God? And this statement begins with God, and it begins with our perception of who He is. Because there's a myriad perceptions of God that people have. I believe there are people who simply view God as the judge and the jury. And that someday they're going to have to face this judge and this jury, but meanwhile they don't have to. They're going to pretend He's not there, and they're going to live their lives accordingly, and they'll just pay the piper when the time comes. And for them, God is nothing more than the grim reaper that they face at death, and they receive their death sentence. But I believe that God is far different from this. But that's but one perception of God. Another perception I think that people have is that God is the detached, uncaring dictator. That he created the heavens and the earth sometime in the past. And now he's just sitting back, completely detached, uncaring, watching everything unfold. And whatever happens, happens. And he's just going to watch it. And he's going to watch and see what kind of a mess we can make out of this place, or what we can do out of this place, but we're totally on our own. And there are people who truly believe that that's God's relationship. And that's how they view God. And then there are those who believe that God is not in existence. It's strictly human imagination. That somewhere along the human existence, we had to have this crutch called God. And in order to exist and work through our pain, we created this thing, this imagination. And then there is the concept and the reality that some people actually believe that God is the puppet master. And as the puppet master, he's up in heaven and he's pulling all the strings, and there is no free will involved in mankind. And we can pray all we want and it's not going to change anything. And we can say this and say that, but the facts are that the puppet master pulls all the strings and we simply do what God wants and tells us to do. Period. He's the puppet master. I believe these are all misperceptions of God. And what I want us to do today is to begin by seeing God and the beautiful, loving, caring creature that he is. And the first thing we have to realize is the transcendency of God. The transcendency of God is that he is so magnificent and powerful and beautiful and unbelievable that our minds literally don't have the ability to begin to put God in a box and understand it. He is beyond the comprehension of man's mind, of our mind. He is transcendent. But at the same time that God is transcendent, he's also immanent. And what does that mean? That means that God comes and he is present. He's here with us. He's touching human hearts. He's surrounding us with his love. He is real. A good friend of mine, in fact, he was interviewed here years ago. A guy by the name of Rabbi Irvin Katzoff wrote a book entitled How to Get Your Prayers Answered. Isn't that a great title? I was reading his book in preparation for today, and he says, God is both transcendent and immanent. And he says, transcendent means that God is out there. God exists outside of space and time, above and beyond our earthly concept of reality. Indeed, God is reality itself. And we exist in reality in God. That is exactly why we say that while being transcendent, God is at the very same time immanent, which means God is in here, God is with us, he is up close, and he's personal. And when you read through the Bible, you cannot find anything but the fact that he is immanent and at the same time transcendent. But here's another thought about the immanence of God. God is emotional. Have you ever thought of the fact that God is emotional? When you read through the Bible, you can't help but experience the reality of the emotions of God. The Bible talks about God being angry. God's heart being sorrowful. We can go through the Bible and we can read God caring for his people, loving his people, guiding his people. We read through the Bible and we see the emotions of God over and over again. He is emotional. And as an emotional God, he wants us to pray with him and have a relationship with him. And that is why Jesus Christ refers God to us as our Father. And Jesus says, as a father cares for his children, how much more doesn't God care for us? And he is responsive. He is clearly responsive. And it doesn't matter how we pray or when we pray or how long we've prayed, he always responds. God always answers our prayers. Do you remember? That's what you're taking home with you today. God is answering my prayers. A thief dying on the cross next to Jesus Christ. And he prays a simple prayer. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. He responded. He didn't wait. He didn't take time. He responded immediately, and the power and the presence and the response of God was imminent. It was there. Jesus tells the story of the persistent widow. The widow comes to this ruler, and not a good ruler, and she asks him for a certain thing. And he discards her, and she comes back again, and she comes back again. Finally, he says, give her what she wants so she'll quit asking me and bothering me and pestering me. And Jesus says, just as the unkind ruler responds, how much more won't God respond to our persistence? And so we pray. God is, and God is here today answering prayers. And I know that 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 I know without question or doubt that God is answering your prayers, all of our prayers simultaneously at the same time. And it isn't like Bruce Almighty where he pushes the button, yes, to all of the above. God is answering our prayers in the most beautiful way that we could ever possibly imagine. Recently, I was having lunch with the gentleman who did the genome project. His name is Francis Collins. And in that genome project, they've discovered all the different pathways of the entire genes of humanity. An enormous project that they thought would never be accomplished in his lifetime. But they did it in a fraction of the time that they thought. And since then, lots of genetic engineering and science has changed its course, and today medicine is all about genetic engineering. And that's where the future of medicine is. And as we were at lunch, also at that lunch was Ken Miedema. Many of you know Ken Miedema. He's sung here on the Hour of Power many times. He's blind. And Francis asks Ken, if you could get your eyesight back, would you be interested in getting your eyesight back? You have to realize where we are in science today. Just recently, we gave an injection to these puppies. All these puppies were blind. They walked around their kennel and they would bump into the walls and bump into each other. They were all blind. It was a genetic disease. And we knew how to correct it genetically and gave them a shot. And within a few hours, they all had their sight back. He said, I believe in our lifetime, you'll have to make that decision. And we see Renee Bondi here today. in a wheelchair, broken spine. And I think in the future we're going to see the fact that spines are going to be healed and people who have been bound to wheelchairs are going to get up and walk again. And I believe that in the decades to come, we're going to see miraculous cures to unbelievable ills that people have. We must never say it is impossible. It's always possible. And all we have to have is enough faith to pray. I have to be honest with you and confess that as I say these words, God is answering my prayers. I often doubt those certain words that I say. And even as a minister of the gospel, I have doubts. But faith is not living without doubts. You must realize that. Everybody has doubts and everybody will always have doubts. Faith is taking the steps in spite of the doubts. So in spite of our doubts, we hold on to our faith and we say the words, we speak them out forthrightly. God is answering my prayers. And we speak it. And as we speak it, I know, as sure as I'm standing here, that God will answer your prayers in the most beautiful and profound way that you could ever possibly imagine. I remember in the 60s, my father came back from visiting Iran. So he pulls out his slides after coming back from Iran, and he's showing us the pictures of Persepolis, the spectacular excavations from the beginning of dawn, the Babylonian empires there. And then he showed us the pictures of the inside of the royal palace. It was absolutely spectacular. It looked like all of the walls and the columns and the roof were covered in diamonds. I said, "Dad, what is that?" He goes, "Yeah, it looks like diamonds, doesn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, it looks like diamonds." I go, "What is it? Is it cut glass?" He goes, "No, you won't believe it." I said, "Well, tell me, what is it?" He goes, "When they were designing this building, they decided to cover everything in mirrors. So they ordered the mirrors from Paris, and by the time the mirrors arrived in Iran and they uncrated the mirrors, all of the mirrors were broken. And the architect wasn't sure what to do, but all of a sudden he got this great idea. And he started breaking all of the mirrors. And he used those tiny pieces of mirror as a mosaic. And all of the walls, all of the columns, and the dome of the inside of the royal palace, when you enter this magnificent building, are covered in these tiny little broken mirrors. And it shines like diamonds." And just as that architect turned a tragedy into the most beautiful piece and one of the most beautiful pieces in the world, so God takes our brokenness, takes our doubt, he takes our sorrow, he takes our failures, takes our sin, and he puts it all back together again. And he puts it together in such a way that it just shines. It shines in such a way that we never could imagine the beauty could come out of such tragedy. And God answers our prayers. And today, I want you to take those words with you. What words are you taking home with you today? Let me hear it. God is answering my prayers. Dear God, we thank you that you are, that you exist, that you are answering our prayers. Not in the past tense, not in the future tense, in the present tense. That as we stand in this place right now, you're taking the negatives and turning them into major positives. And so we give you thanks. We thank you for every challenge we face today. We thank you for shaping our hearts and our minds. We thank you for holding us in your arms, for caressing us and loving us. You're our Father, and we are your children. We love you, God. Amen. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit touch your heart and touch your lips that you might continue to declare his goodness in your life and recognize the fact that he is answering your prayers always. Amen.
Power organiseert dit jaar 7 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld, waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van absolute topartiesten. De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez maakte vorig jaar grote indruk met zijn warme stemgeluid en treedt ook dit jaar op. Ook Jan Mulder, de bekende pianist, verleent zijn medewerking aan onze kerstconcerten. Hij leidt een geweldig orkest en een groot koor. Bovendien zal de meidengroep Excess optreden tijdens onze kerstconcerten, verspreid door het hele land. Het beloven 7 onvergetelijke avonden te worden die we graag met u willen beleven. Dinsdag 11 december zijn we in de Grote Kerk in Naarden. 13 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. En vrijdag 14 december zijn we in Apeldoorn. Zaterdag 15 december in Roermond. Maandag 17 december in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. 18 december de Battle in Drachten. En het slotconcert op woensdag 19 december in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 8:15. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588.
Weet je, ik ben altijd weer onder de indruk van de mensen die ons schrijven en bellen wat Hour of Power in hun leven betekent en hoe ze de weken mee in kunnen. Vooral als je het moeilijk hebt. Je hebt het gehoord van Dick Eekhoorn, een van onze vrijwilligers die zo getrouw bidt voor mensen die het moeilijk hebben. Weet je, sommige mensen voelen zich ongeveer als dit. Ik zie dat wel eens. Mensen plukken een bloemetje, die kijken ernaar en dan zijn ze uitgekeken en dan gooien ze het weg. Maar weet je wat er gebeurt? Als je God kent, dan voel je je misschien door mensen weggegooid. Maar God raap je op en die steek je als ware, als ik het zo mag doen, in zijn knoopsgat. En dan ben je veilig bij hem thuis. En dat wens ik iedereen toe. En als je gebed nodig hebt, als je zegt ik heb het moeilijk en ik zoek om hulp, schrijf ons, mail ons. En u en jij hebt gehoord wat er gebeurt door middel van ons gebedsteam. Iedereen een hele goede zondag toegewenst. Bedankt voor het kijken. En weet, geplukt, weggegooid, en door God wordt je opgeraapt. Een goede zondag.